Matthew chapter 28. Now, we've been looking through this converts class because we want to make sure we do everything we're supposed to do is save people. We're not trying to get favor with God. We got that in Jesus Christ. He gave us all that. We don't have to go out looking for favor anymore. We already have it. Put this thing on before I forget about it. There we go. As we look in Matthew 28... He says, "Go ye," verse 19, "go ye therefore and do one thing," right there, "teach all nations." And he says, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." I don't care how many converts you claim, there's only one real kind. Just one. I don't care if you say you're a Christian, there's only one kind. Here's that kind. Them that's born again. If you're born once, you're eligible for hell, but if you're born twice, you'll never see hell.
That's right.
Because people that are born again, not people that make decisions, not people that say prayers, not people that join churches, none of that.
Yeah.
Born from above. And when you see people that's born again, God changes them. Let me say that again. People that God saves, God changes.
Yeah, right.
That begs the question, can a Christian sin? If a Christian couldn't sin, we'd be all right there and we'd stop and never have to worry about it again. John 3:16 would be how long our Bible would be. We'd have a piece of paper this big. But instead, we got a Bible that's this thick.
Yeah.
If you got the right kind of Bible with the right concordance and the right map, say amen right there. And they all got to be red Bibles or they don't work. That'll hit you in about 10 minutes.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. R-E-A-D, red. That's Dr. Hampton's old saying. He told me that the first time. I said, but mine's black, but I read it all the time. He said, listen to me, son. And he told me to me again. He had to tell me that thing five times before I picked up on it. Y'all doing good if y'all got it the first time. But he says, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. After you get saved, listen, you have not arrived. You need to learn things that will help you grow in the Lord. If you ever stop learning, you will stop growing. If you stop growing, you'll be used as an instrument of the devil he'll use you to discourage other people with.
Amen.
So how do you know Christians don't stop sinning when they get saved? Because 1 John 1:9 is in my Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to give us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Colossians 1:14 and Ephesians 1:7 is in our Bible. In whom we have redemption through his blood, watch this, even the forgiveness of sins. Through his blood's redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, what's afterwards?
Amen.
All you perfect people out there, listen to me. I see he says, observe what sort of things I've commanded you. We got to get in this book, find out what God's commanded us so we can teach people and help them. And Peter said it this way in Acts 4:20. He said, the only thing we can declare in you, he said, that's which we have seen and heard. John said, which we have seen and heard. We can only tell you what we've seen and heard. That's why it's important for preachers when they study in the Bible and Sunday school teachers and all this, you need to study the Bible and let the Bible get full of the Bible.
Yep.
That way it'll be what comes out, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yep.
Right?
Amen.
Did we talk about hunting deer this morning in Sunday school? Did we talk about fishing during preaching? No. We talked about the Word of God. I like them things.
Amen.
I like all of them. If my team would win more in football, I'd like it better.
Come on.
If certain people didn't play for my basketball team, I might start back watching basketball again. I've totally quit it. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Bunch of crybaby millionaires out there. And don't even bring up baseball. You're talking about a bunch of crybabies. I'm only $165 million to play baseball. Well, I'd have done it for $164. They'd got off $1 million cheaper. But you can't do what they do. For $165 million, I could. I'd be out there throwing baseballs till 6 o'clock in the morning, get up at 7 and start again. I'd learn that stuff. That's like years ago, these guys miss these free throws. How you going to miss a free throw and that's all you do?
Yeah.
And you get how many millions? Well, I promise you this, If you just pay me hundreds of thousands of dollars, I probably would learn. I'd sit out there and shoot them till I could hit every one of them.
Yep.
Don't look at me like I'm short. You ever heard of Spud Webb? Bugsy
right.
Bogues?
Right.
I watched them play against each other, Atlanta and Charlotte, one time in Charlotte. I watched both of them dunk on them tall guys. Whole crowd erupted. I was the first one to stand up cheering when they done it. I promise you, I beat 23,000 people at their feet going, yeah, baby! Boom! Say, could you do it for $10 million? I'd learn how to do it.
Right.
I mean, if you get paid like that, you should be able to do the job, right? I mean, for whatever you get paid, I would expect you to do your job, right? Mm-hmm. You do work, right? You don't just sit around and don't do your work, do you?
No.
Now watch this. We got the basics for the believers we've been talking about. Number one, we're supposed to come to church. How many of y'all remember that? Before you even found it in the Bible, you knew that was right, but now I showed you in the Bible where it's at. You're supposed to read the Bible before you even got wet in Baptist. You said, I know I need to read the Bible. I need to study the Bible. That's number three. We see how to study the Bible. We know we're supposed to tithe. Somehow or another, you knew that. You just didn't know how much and where. We're supposed to give to missions. We knew that one. And we had to find out exactly what that meant. We're supposed to win souls to Christ. We're supposed to do that. We do. Well, if God wanted a heathen saved, he'd save them. Yeah, but he's going to use you to do it with. You'll either do it on this end or you'll do it on the field, but you'll do it. God wants you to do that thing.
Amen.
We're supposed to pray. So how do you know that? Well, before you ever got saved, after you got saved, the first thing you did, you knew somehow you need to pray, but you just didn't know what to say. And you may not be comfortable praying out loud, but if we call on you, you'll do it. You know why? Because you know you're supposed to. You're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. That's the most foreign thing to these new converts classes because nobody knows about that when they say, I ain't never heard of that before. What's that mean? I explained that pretty good to you, I believe. Not go back and listen to it again. You need to learn that. That's something you need to yield yourself to every day. We learned that number nine, we're supposed to forgive.
Yeah.
We're supposed to forgive. Yeah. And tonight we're going to look at another one. We're supposed to be reconciled. We're supposed to reconcile. And we're supposed to reconcile with others at that. And as we look at this tonight, let's pray the Lord helps us with this thing tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the converts class we've been looking at. It's been a big help to all of us. We pray, God, that you'll continue to move and help us and teach us things from the Word of God.
Yes.
Lord, help us take this truth tonight and drive it home for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word reconciled, of all things, occurs seven times in your Bible. Seven times. They must be something to the past tense word reconciled that would mean something to you. To be reconciled is to get together with a party whom either you've offended them or they've offended you and bring them things together. And the way we do that, if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 5, we'll start over here in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Number one tonight, we must be reconciled to other believers. Reconciled to other believers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, after stating all he stated about everything from verse 17 up to verse 22 there, he says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there, at that altar, rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Do you see that? You know why people don't tithe in churches right now? They say, well, I got something against somebody. I ain't supposed to tithe. Read that again. Where's the gift stay? People try anything to get out of giving money, won't they? And you sitting in a church don't really ask you for nothing. I'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that. He seems to be taking care of it pretty well. But I see there he said something there about that. He said, remembers that thy brother hath aught against thee. He said, go be reconciled to thy brother. The biggest problem being reconciled to thy brother, you ask him, say, if I offended you in some way, they say, no. But they won't talk to you. They won't take your phone calls. They won't act right towards you. Every time somebody says your name, they spit on the ground. But you ask them, do you have a problem with me? And they say, no, why would you ask?
Go ahead.
Sound like y'all been there before. Brother Ben, you looking right at me. Come on up here.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. Brother Brian, you was looking at me too, I believe. These only two guys didn't look like at me like it's sucking on lemons. So the rest of you, listen up what I'm fixing to do here. Okay. We got these two men right here. For the purpose of this, we're going to scoot them right together.
Uh-oh.
They friends. You ain't mad yet. Okay. They brethren in the Lord. They love one another. They both saved under the same blood. But then one day the devil says... Say, what you got against him?
Say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Say, what you got against him?
None.
Is that pretty clear or what? So you know what the Lord does? The Lord says, there's Matthew 5:24. And brings them back together. But something's got to happen first.
Sorry.
Sorry, brother.
Now hug and make up and go sit back down. See what I'm talking about? A lot of folks don't get this. I'm trying to help you tonight. Let me see that. Throw that thing up here. I knew when I set it down something didn't sound right. That's fine, brother. We are reconciled now that I got my microphone piece back. I might leave this out. I might want to call on somebody else. Hold on. But he says there, first be reconciled to thy brother. The sad truth of the matter is there's so many churches in this town because two people wouldn't do what I just showed you.
Mm. Yeah. Come on.
So how do you know? Because I sat in one of them when one of them got started. Y'all ever seen that movie, them two old men? It's Walter Matthau and that other guy. What do they call them?
Grumpy old
Men. What a great title for a movie with them two guys in, right? Did y'all remember when they got in that fight in that movie? Wait a minute, we're independent Baptists. We don't go to television, we don't own televisions, but it's just something somebody told us. Anyway, you remember when they told you about this, how them two old men's fighting, how funny that was, because they couldn't hardly swing at one another. Imagine sitting in a church, and a guy over here picks up a songbook and throws it to the other guy, and it only goes halfway down the thing. And you're sitting back there where I was, and you're sitting there saying, what are they doing in church throwing a songbook? And you know what? The other guy threw one back. He made it about three quarters without nobody hit nobody. That's how about I feel when they show Ric Flair's going to wrestle one more match. I think it's going to be just like that, you know. But I look at stuff like that and I say, you know what? Churches get started because of splits over something stupid. Because two guys will not say I'm sorry to each other. That's sad. And you know what it's usually over? Something that shouldn't be going on that far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Reconciled. We must be reconciled to other believers. I didn't say you get reconciled with the devil that splits you up. Get reconciled to other believers.
Right.
Here's where the problem comes in. Now, what? Listen to me carefully. Well, he wasn't really saved. That's why I'm not going to reconcile to him. Tell me, genius, how do you know that? Oh, I'm judging by their fruits. Can you judge your fruits? You sound like you've got enough bitterness in you. If you spit at my face, it'd blind me in both eyes.
Oh.
And maybe take out a lung or two. Who knows?
Mercy.
Let me read you something here. Hip, yeah. Now, the lady that was gracious enough to do this did not know I was going to preach on this night. Boy, this fits this thing. I read it this morning and thought, I'm using that somewhere. I'm using it tonight. The acid of bitterness will not harm the object it is directed at, but it will destroy the container in which it is stored. Man. Some of y'all got somebody on your mind. Let me help you. Go to them. Call them if you can't get there. If they won't answer the phone, make a trip. Just tell them, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry all that happened. But I'm going to tell you how not to do it. If I've done anything wrong to you, don't start with that. That means you really not taking blame for it. Okay? If.
Yeah.
If.
Come on.
That means I don't think I did nothing. Mm. I'm playing the victim, so you'll feel sorry for me, so I can go out to, I tried to reconcile with them. You go to them and say, what did I do? Or if you know, tell them, so I'm sorry I did that thing. Mm-hmm. They say, well, you did this over here too. I'm sorry for that. Be reconciled with it. If it involves money, pay it back. If they can't pay it back, the other guy needs to forgive. You know why? It ain't worth you carrying it.
Right.
I worked in textiles, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a thing in textiles where they got this acid in these special containers, and they make you hold them. That you have to wear these special rubber gloves. You got to wear a thing on your face, all that stuff for a reason. That will harm you. But what will harm you far worse than that is not being reconciled to somebody and trying to carry that grudge and try to explain to others why you spitting acid on the person you're trying to tell it ain't worth it. Is that right? You got to be reconciled to others. Number two tonight, if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I told you there's seven of these. These are all important. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you look down at verse number 11. Now, before I say what I'm fixing to say, now listen to me carefully. If you are legally divorced from a spouse and you get married to somebody, you can't be leaving that one to go back and get to the first and get this thing and get remarried and unmarried and all this other stuff.
Yeah, right.
According to Romans 14, you got to do this thing legally. Mm-hmm. In America, that's how it's done. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Can I tell you what 98% of the divorces in America are for? You ready for this? You think I'm going to say finances, but that's not it. You think I'm going to say adultery? That's not it. They can't get along. Therefore, there becomes an adultery problem somewhere down the road, or there becomes a financial problem, or he don't treat me like we is, whatever. It's like the old man and his wife is riding an old Ford F-350 1975 pickup. They started riding together. She was up under his arm. He was driving like this. And as riding one day, she looked at him and said, you know, we don't set like we used to. He said, well, you moved way over there. Are you listening to me yet? Number two, not only be reconciled to other believers, be reconciled to your spouse. Whoever you married to right now, first, second, or tenth, I don't care, it's none of my business. You need to be reconciled to who you married with right now. Do you get that? Like, she can't move no further. You've backed her into a corner. There you go. That's a good trick there. Now, if you're driving, don't do that. That means they're both on the passenger side. That don't work unless you're a mailman. But listen, you need to be reconciled. Now watch this. I had this crazy old uncle, and I won't call his name. He's still breathing, or I'd tell his name. The funniest thing I ever seen in my life, and I'm telling you, this is funny. Y'all listen up to this very carefully. Him and his wife got a divorce, okay? That broke everybody's heart. He remarried and she remarried. Do you know that all four of them people was friends later on? Let me say it again. They were all friends later on. I asked him, I said, why? How do you do that? That's what he said. He said, the Bible said be reconciled, don't it? I about died. I thought, that ain't what I was taught growing up. That ain't what you was taught growing up. You don't know what they did. I don't. Out of all the things you could find my uncle for, that's one thing you couldn't. I'd go over to the house and I'll be drinking coffee together. And I'm like, don't get that. I've never understood that, but yet there was. Well, his ex-wife died. I went to the funeral. There he sat. Then his wife died. There's all her people sitting at that funeral. I said, that's pretty sorry that Christians won't forgive one another enough to do something like that. But that guy does that. Are you listening to me? It's crazy stuff. I know it's illogical, Spock. I get it. But that's what God said do. Can I tell you something? Unless you want to wind up in the same shape with them, see that R word in that verse? You better do it with your current spouse or you'll be working on the next one for long. So how do I do that? I don't know. Maybe just go to them and tell them you're sorry for what you did, and then they done something to you, they can ask you, and then you can reconcile the thing. It works. It works. Yeah, but you don't know how mine is. Well, she said she married a crazy person too, so don't say they're crazy. I've had people come to me and say, you know how sorry my husband is. I said, well, you picked him out. Out of 7.6 million, but you picked the dude out. I mean, I didn't pick him out. What I need to do, reconcile with them. This is not my opinion, by the way. By the way, are they saved? But you can go back to the first point. That's the other believer too. Watch this one. Number three, look at Romans chapter 5. Hang a left, Romans chapter 5. It's going to get sticky yet. Number three, we get, listen, number one said we must be reconciled to other believers, we must be reconciled to our spouse. Number three, we must be reconciled in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Watch what it says. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We must be reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So number three, we must be reconciled to God. How are we going to do that? Did you read right there what it said, by the death of his son? You know what he did for you? Jesus Christ died and paid redemption's price for you so you could be reconciled to God. He rose again the third day for your justification in that very matter. You are now reconciled to God. Listen to this. The God that created the universe, you know him now. And you got reconciled to him, and all warring factions are dropped, not because of what he did to you, but because of what you did to him. And the only way he would listen to you was you had to come on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Yep. He had to die so you could be reconciled to God. Yep. That's the only one way reconciliation we got right there. Because God didn't do nothing to you but love you.
Right.
He gave his only begotten son because he wanted to be reconciled to you and said, these are my terms. When I hear somebody say, now me and the Lord have our own thing. No, you don't have your own thing. There's one thing God has and it's Jesus Christ. It's by him or nothing at all.
Right.
When people say, well, I'm saved, but I don't go to church. That's real cute. Tell me something. What did Jesus die for again? The Bible said he died for his church.
That's right.
Well, no, it says he died for me. Find me one place that says he died for you, and I'll show you another place where it says he died for his church. Oh, wait a minute. When you got saved, you placed in his church.
That's right.
Both them things are true. You can't operate on half a truth. You got to have both of them. And looking at this thing, he said we're to be reconciled, it says there, reconciled to God. And we're reconciled, we shall be saved, listen to this, by his life. It's not the death of Jesus that saved you. Did you just read where it said you're saved by his life? Somebody please tell John MacArthur that.
Right.
Saved by his life, says it right there in print. Your Bible says that. Mm-hmm. We got to be reconciled to other believers. We got to be reconciled to our spouse. We got to be reconciled to God. Number four, listen to this. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Say, why would you put this new converts material? Well, it's very simple. New converts need to know this because nobody's telling them. We've got a revolving door at church. They come in and go right back out. Come in and go right back out. Come right back out. Have you figured out why yet? Nobody's telling them nothing. The easy outs is, well, they didn't really get saved. What if they did? Remember, Jesus said, teach them. We ain't taught them nothing. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to look at two verses here and one somewhere else. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We have to be reconciled through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. The most important relationship that will keep you reconciled to the other three things is to stay reconciled to Jesus Christ. He's not only your Savior, he's your Lord. We have access to God by him. If we mess up that relationship, we need to get that one right. That's who we talk to every day. Lord Jesus. You remember, you got saved. Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. Try doing that every day. Not getting saved every day. Keeping your sins confessed and up to date. Not to some dude with his collar wearing backwards and a dress and sitting in a little box by himself. That creeps me out just thinking of that. Listen, get along with God Almighty and go through Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry I did this. Name them things out. Don't be talking to God talking about, well, Lord, if I've sinned. If I've sinned. You think a lot of yourself, don't you? Bless your heart. Listen, how about this? Lord, I did sin.
Yeah.
You probably know what they are. If not, read the Bible. It'll jump off the page at you. Start with the thou shalt not. So that'll really show you where you're at. You know why them things were given to you? To show you you wasn't perfect to start with.
Right.
Show you you needed a Savior. Keep your relationship right with Jesus Christ. Why would anybody take the time and talk about reconciliation? Because it's the most unmentioned topic in the entire Bible. I can count to you on this hand how many times I've heard somebody say that word in the pulpit. Right here. Not counting tonight. How many times have you heard it? Nobody wants to talk about this. You know why? Because Americans are so full of pride. We the only ones I know can strut sitting down. And when we full of pride, the Bible talks about there's a king of pride over in Job chapter 41. And the Bible talks about how that pride being a sin, but yet we fuel ourselves on pride. We're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit. We're full of pride instead. God resisteth the proud. That's in your Bible, in James chapter 4, I believe it is. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. If you're going to be used of God at all, you got to learn to humble yourself and go to people and say, I did wrong. But start off by going to Jesus Christ first.
Yeah.
There's a thing about them disciples I read over in the book of Acts where they walked up there and they said they took note these men had been with Jesus. And I've heard messages preached on that, but do you know the one, the least amount of preaching I've heard is the fact that it's not just believers will see it, unbelievers will see it. They try to push the unbeliever part on it, but believers will see it too. When people get full of the Lord and they want him to run their life and they reconcile completely with Jesus Christ, he's reconciled them to God, it's no problem being reconciled to anybody on this planet. When I first got saved, listen, I had to reconcile myself to some people. My family was the first one. You know why? I was a horrible family member. I was not a good husband. I was not a good father. I was not a good cousin. I was not a good son. I was not a good anything. All that had to be fixed. I said, Lord, please fix it. God said, go fix it. I'll give you all the tools. Some of them, it took a testimony. I told them I got saved, and they said, we forgive you. But some, it took time. A lot of time. I had somebody tell me, I ain't nothing but a drug addict. What? A drug addict? Well, I haven't been saved a month. Born again. They said, yeah, we've seen that before too. So when did you reconcile with them? Oh, about 20 years down the road. That was on their end, not mine. I forgave them. I said, Lord, take care of them. He did. We're friends tonight. Family, everything. The best thing I know is this, is that God wants us to reconcile these people because some of them he's trying to reach too. They caught up in bitterness. They caught up in anger issues. They caught up in mistrust. They've been done wrong by people, and we need to reach out to them and reconcile the ones we know we can reconcile with and go reconcile with them. Again, there's some people go to them and say, I want to pop. No, ain't nothing wrong. Nothing's wrong. And they'll go off being bitter for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a lot of people who have strokes and heart attacks over the fact they won't forgive people and it eats them up alive. I've told y'all this story before. Bear with me as I tell it again. When I'm 14, 15 years old and I hear an old man slips in the shower, you know what I think? I'm standing on one pinky toe washing my hair and everything at the same time thinking, why'd they fall? Now it's like I can't get in that death trap without thinking about breaking my own neck because every time I get in there, I slide somewhere. And that's just 40 years down the road from being 14 years old. What I'm getting at is you change over time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Do this with me. Go. Did you feel a little tightness there? You young people, shut up. We don't want to hear from you no way. Everybody over the age of 40 felt something when you did that. You know what it was? It was old age. You just can't do it like you used to. Right?
Amen.
I'm with you. I understand. How many want to go run a lap around the building? Just one. Young people, shut up. You shut up. Keep your hand down. I'm talking to the people that you know. We're not talking to you 20-year-olds. Hit him right in his right arm, man. Just like this. Punch him right there. Not really, but, you know. The rest of us, we might run to the door, might run to the bathroom or something. That's about all run you can get out of us. You know why? Our bodies have changed. And listen, there's this thing about this. You get older, things don't work like they used to. But I got news for you. That was supposed to happen just like that. But when you carry a bunch of bitterness and unforgiveness, the next thing you know, you're going to say, doctor's going to say, what's wrong with you? That's hurting right here. I don't know what's going on. Oh, wait a minute. Stress has developed you a problem, sir. I ain't got no stress. Get you some of that Barney. I ain't got no stress. I ain't got no stress. And he'll Barney will say, and you're going to die from it, too. That's what he'd say. It'll kill you. It will absolutely kill you. There's been people, listen to this, they're afraid of things. If, listen, that little thing she brought in this morning, that little spider jump out, there's some people you do that to, they about die from that thing. I had one kid chase me around with a rubber snake here the other week. I said, you better put that thing up before you get shot. After I found out it wasn't real, I wasn't worried about it. But I had a teacher at Bible college, I promise you, we put a rubber snake in his desk, or is a rubber rat, that's what it was. And when he opened that desk up, he run out the door on his tippy toes. And on the exam that semester, if you didn't put a dot over an I, that was counted 5 points wrong. We was the only class he did that way. So did you do that? I would never do that to a human being. But because it happened and I was in there, we all got a participation trophy for it. Everybody got punished for that one. You ever seen when they do that? You in school and they say, who said that? And nobody said that. All of you line up outside. Everybody get a lick for that one. I'm telling you, that man, I watched him. I sure wouldn't do it to him now. He's probably 70 years old now. If I'd done it to him now, he'd have a heart attack if we did that to that man. He is 30 then, about fell out. I mean, I've never seen a man run on his tiptoes in a pair of rock boards in my life to that day. He looked like the Flash going out the door, screaming like a woman. Wow! Two classes down, they said, revival's breaking out over in evangelism. It wasn't revival, honey. It was fear. But there's some people, they got such fear built up, and they're afraid of everything under the sun. When you tell them something that makes them fear, they get flushed, they start sweating. That's their heart fixing to give out. And the older they get, the worse it gets. You better learn this. Fear God and you'll never fear man. But if you fear man, you'll fear everything and it'll kill you. It'll wear you down over time. Mm-hmm. You ever been to a horror movie? There's always one dude in there who's going to scream. He won't be doing that in 30 more years. He won't be here with us. He'll be afraid. Are you listening to me yet?
Right.
Be ye reconciled one to another. Be ye reconciled to Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God. Why is that? Because all this counts towards one thing. Your walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
You need to have this stuff reconciled. It's easy to do. You just got to do it. Somebody told me something one time, and I don't know exactly how they do this now in engines, but I understand this now better than I used to. Y'all know what a fuse is in a car? When I was growing up, we didn't have such things as that. There's these little glass things nobody ever fooled with. They never went out for some reason. I guess they didn't build them in China back then. Is that right? I mean, it's just, you'd stick in things there and be done, usually for your lights or something. I had a car in 1985, and I went to crank it, and nothing happened. I almost burned up the starter trying to crank that car. I checked under the hood. I checked every spark plug wire. I checked the coil. I checked everything I knew, and it wouldn't start. So I thought, I must be out of gas. So I went and turned the switch back on, gas in, so zoop, plenty of gas. I thought somebody had ripped off my gas tank, siphoned gas out or something. I'm sitting there just about to lose my mind over this. So finally I broke down, I called a mechanic. He come out there and he spends a few minutes, he says, did you check the fuse box? I said, the what? He said, you know this car's got electronic ignition, don't you? I said, what in the world is that? Now, this is pre-internet, so I couldn't go look this up on my phone, you understand, because we didn't have a phone. He got down there, crawled up under the hood, popped this thing out, and there's this red fuse with this black burnt thing over top of it. Looked like it's ready to melt. He said, there's your problem right there. I said, well, I knew that. What's wrong with that thing? I'd never seen that. I'd even never seen that box where he showed it to me. And we laughed about it. He said, that's the fuse that goes to your fuel pump and your electronic ignition, one of them things. I said, so if that fuse burns out, nothing. He said, I'll be back. He rode up to Cherokee Auto Supply, come back, popped that thing there. First try. Went right on. Can I tell you something tonight? You know why you ain't going nowhere? You got one little thing holding you up. Just one. You need to be reconciled to somebody. It's probably not 10 people, your entire family. Just one person. And while I've been preaching this, and I had them two men up here, God done put his hand on it. Go take care of it. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.